Welcome. Today I have the great honor of interviewing Sofia Śniegowska. Her areas of expertise consist of public relations, social media, business development, and marketing. Sofia is the chair of the Communications Committee of the Canada-Poland Chamber of Commerce of Toronto. She is also a member of the European Union Chamber of Commerce in Canada. In addition, Sofia is also a member of the NATO Association of Canada. Thank you for joining us again today, Sofia. I would like to begin by discussing a conference that you attended last week. On Tuesday, January 19th, you attended a conference that I worked on. The conference primarily focused on the Syrian crisis and Turkey, along with security and humanitarian challenges. This conference was held at the Banting Institute. Would you be able to discuss the significance and the impact that this conference had?
Well, the significance in my perspective was the focus on Syrian crisis in relation to Turkey in specific, just because they do share a border, and what was outlined by both speakers is not only the geographic realities, but also the fact that the country itself wasn't prepared for the realities of the Syrian crisis. And those are in terms of society, political, economical. They were not prepared to support that onslaught of people coming in through the border. And they also don't have similar regulations in terms of dealing with refugees and asylum seekers as other European nations, or even Canada as an example. We're very prepared in the way that we took in refugees. We had the time to also create a plan, whether it was security related or on the humanitarian aspect. Those are privileges that was not allotted to the Turkish government or to the organizations such as the Red Crescent that are participating in those refugee camps and trying to improve the relations for the asylum seekers and refugees within the borders of Turkey.
The Director General of the Turkish Red Crescent, Dr. Mehmet Guluguglu, was one of the main speakers at this conference. Would you be able to discuss some of the main arguments that Dr. Guluguglu highlighted?
Primarily, he discussed the geographic realities, and he actually created a wonderful visual aid in drawing out the nations involved and also putting a number to how many refugees were coming in at different times, and it is up to millions of people at this moment right now. And what I think is very important to note is that he did kind of, in a way, show admiration to Canada specifically in how we have accepted refugees ourselves, because we are not under the same level of obligation as the bordering countries, and we don't face the same realities as they are not able to cross onto our land. So countries such as Greece and Turkey, they are the ones that pretty much were the first barriers that many of these refugees were coming through. And it happened at such a fast rate with so many individuals that it is almost impossible to deal with it in an orderly manner. And that, I think, was one of the major issues that he addressed very well. Regardless of those realities, they have truly tried to bring as many resources that are available to them to assist with these individuals and families. And the other thing is, it's not just Syrian refugees. There's also Afghanis and other groups of individuals that are also coming in at this time. So it's important to try to address the fact that it isn't purely Syrians, but the fact that when they're talking about security issues and how a lot of, whether it's the media or people with certain biases, and they address the security issues specifically to the Syrian refugees, I think personally that's a bit closed-minded, because the reality is that when there's such an onslaught of people coming in through a border, no matter what, there's going to be other people kind of hopping in on that wave. And the people that are either doing the bombings related to ISIS, those are not the Syrian refugees themselves, but the people that are somehow able to get through the system that is there in order to welcome these people that are in desperate situations and looking for a better life.
I strongly agree with you. I think in terms of helping the refugees, Canada is doing a great job in terms of providing refugees with programs to rehabilitate them and reintegrate them into society. As you have been made aware of, the government is actively involved in assisting these refugees. And a lot of refugees are coming to Canada from Syria, and they're provided with an immense amount of resources here in Canada. Oftentimes, there are advantages and disadvantages associated with helping those who end up coming to Canada. There are certain security issues and then also challenges affiliated with assisting refugees. Oftentimes, it's one thing to help a refugee come from Syria and to become a citizen of Canada, but it's another thing to ensure that the refugees are provided with an adequate amount of programs. And by programs, I mean education, accessibility to education, accessibility to employment, accessibility to housing. These are an extensive amount of resources that require not only a lot of support from the community, but an immense amount of support from the government. And oftentimes, those who question the number of Syrian refugees coming into Canada question whether the government is able to adequately provide these refugees with the resources that they require. What is your opinion in terms of the Canadian government assisting the Syrian refugees here in Canada? And what do you think about the amount of resources that are currently being provided to the Syrian refugees?
Well, I think that our government right now is actually kind of going above and beyond what would be maybe even thought of by the international community as their responsibility once they have accepted refugees. As it was outlined by both speakers, the Turkish government and the policies they have in place aren't necessarily providing all of the opportunities that the Canadian government is, whether it's acknowledging their refugee status, providing connection to education, or trying to provide job opportunities. These are all things that I think are very helpful and necessary to a point, but it is not also something that is done by absolutely every nation that is accepting refugees, whether it's by actually going the extra step, such as Canada or even Australia, who share no borders and have no real responsibility to go this extra step, are also looking into other ways that they can integrate them into their society. Whereas European nations that not even are necessarily sharing a border, but have gone on to say that they are welcoming refugees, for example, Germany, then they are experiencing many going through, and it becomes such a mess that even a country such as Germany, which I believe to be very organized, and they are very well off in terms of their economy, and they are politically proficient, especially as of late, and they had premeditated opening up their borders to this migrant crisis. And yet there are so many people pushing themselves into Europe and other nations to escape their current situations that at the end it still ends up overwhelming the situations and the organizations, the governments that are there, the policies that are in place. It just becomes almost an impossibility to facilitate all of those people and all of the families, regardless of their status, whether they were a doctor or if they were someone that was working on a farm, it doesn't matter. There's just too many people sometimes. And that's the one thing I would also highlight that Canada did do well. They had earlier stated they were going to hit a certain maximum by the end of the year. And when I first heard that, and there was only so many weeks before they could reach that number, I almost got nervous, because not necessarily from a security point of view, how could they do all of these screenings, but how could they possibly do all of the screenings for the humanitarian aspect as well? How could they associate them with a job opportunity or provide education if they are increasing the numbers so quickly in such a short period of time? Then certain things are going to be cut out of that program per se. And in the end, they ended up going back on what they originally stated, and now they are still attempting to reach that goal, they're not backing down from it, but they're doing it at a slower rate because they realized that there would be certain parts of the program they would have to cut, and those are necessary aspects in order to keep the flow coming at a reasonable rate where you can facilitate everyone.
I think looking at the reintegration process of refugees before any refugee is accepted here in Canada, I think it's the responsibility of the government to ensure that all of the resources that are required to provide a family with a comfortable lifestyle, which involves accessibility to employment, accessibility to education, those are mandatory requirements that need to be satisfied, that need to be met before any more refugees come to Canada. Without a job, there is no means, no way of providing these refugees, these individuals, these people coming from another country with a comfortable lifestyle. Without an education, it's difficult for a lot of refugees to be provided with an opportunity to obtain adequate employment. So what I oftentimes look at is what are the opportunities that are made available to these refugees, but on top of that, what resources, what programs are out there? There are a lot of programs, a lot of organizations and associations that have certain fundraisers that are committed to assisting refugees. So I oftentimes examine and do research about how effective these organizations and associations actually really are. It's one thing to ask for donations, but it's another thing to actually provide assistance to the refugees. And what I think would be best in the long term moving forward is to not only help those that are in need of help, it's obviously a humanitarian issue. Syrians are faced with a lot of challenges. It's one thing to help the Syrian refugees, but it's another thing to conduct research and to ensure that you have an adequate amount of resources available to these refugees before allowing them to come into the country.
And a partnership between the government and those organizations would be equally as important because they both can facilitate very different aspects to the Syrians' lives once they are entering a new country. And I think that's something that was really significant in this conference is the fact that we did have two incredible speakers that came from an organization and a foundation as opposed to government and policy workers. And from their perspective, it seemed pretty obvious that the Turkish government was not prepared to accommodate this crisis before it actually hit them to a point where they had to act and do something to a point. But in my opinion, organizations such as the Red Crescent or foundations such as CETA, who are not only on the ground and dealing with the refugees and going between the refugee camps themselves, and these are people that are at the top of their organizations and foundations, and they themselves have gone to these sites. Whereas I don't think politicians necessarily are doing that type of work. And I think from a ground level, you would have to actually put yourself in those situations to understand what programs should be enacted, which ones are doing the job, which ones are just for the surface. That's the only way to really get a good sense of what you can do in the short term versus what could be a possible long-term solution.
I do feel that the government should actively work with these organizations and associations. It's one thing to be a politician, but it's another thing to be a politician who is actively involved in the work that these organizations and associations do, because as you mentioned, oftentimes organizations that are out there who are heavily involved in providing programs and assisting these refugees have a very strong understanding as to what is actually required when it comes down to providing these refugees with the resources and the help that they need in order to survive.